Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is located in Hudsonville, Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
My name is Josh, and I'm one of the pastors here at Fairhaven, and I'm excited to open up God's Word with you, but I'm also excited because we have Fairhaven kids in the room. Come on. So if you see a kid next to you, just give them a little fist bump and be like, I'm so glad you're here. If you're a kid too, hopefully you grabbed a handout this morning. As you listen in, I want to invite you to listen to the 10 words that are on your handout. And you can cross them off when you hear them. And then the invitation is for you to just yell in church, got it. Sound good? Do you got it? Got it. Thank you. Thank you. I got a few. And then there will be something after the service for you. And I'll tell you what that is in a few moments. We're wrapping up our sermon series in the book of Jonah. 2 weeks ago, we said, you can run. And we saw Jonah running away from God and God's call in his life. And last week we said, you can hate. And sooner or later, Jonah finds himself going to Nineveh, preaching this five-word sermon in Hebrew, and everything turns around, all the way from the top to the bottom, from the king and all the way to the cows. They repent. And what we said was that God's mercy reaches farther than we would ever expect. And if Jonah 3 ended right there, that would be amazing. But when we turn to Jonah 4, if not a verse later, we see this. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. And so we have to ask the question, what does that even look like? What is very wrong and why is he angry? But before we do, we need to get to know our emotions a little bit. Raise your hand if you've seen Inside Out. Anybody? Okay, we got a few. Yeah, Inside Out helps us in an imaginative way understand our feelings. There's joy and there's sadness and there's fear and then there's disgust and then there is anger. So take a look at this clip.
Ever wonder why you feel the way you do? Well, get to know your emotions. When things go wrong, anger is there. This is anger. He will make sure the world knows anger is in control. But what you really need to watch out for is when he's out of control.
And this is anger. This is anger. And so I need you to watch this clip and watch how anger responds.
Here we go. All right, open.
This looks new.
Think it's safe?
What is it? Okay, caution. There is a dangerous smell, people. Hold on, what is that?
This is disgust. She basically keeps Riley from being poisoned, physically and socially.
That is not brightly colored or shaped like a dinosaur. Hold on, guys. It's broccoli! Yuck! I just saved our lives. Yeah, you're welcome.
Riley, if you don't eat your dinner, you're not gonna get any dessert.
Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. He cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you wanna play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this.
Ah! Right, right. Here comes an airplane.
Oh, airplane. We got an airplane, everybody.
And that's anger, right? I love the narrator said, that's anger. He cares very deeply about things being fair. And I know you know what this means. So if you're a kid in a room and you're like, hey, my sibling got a bigger piece of cake than I did, what do you say? Okay, that's not fair. Okay, you're catching on. Say maybe your sibling, maybe your older sister gets to go to bed later than you do, and you say, okay, a little bit louder. Okay, say you're at the playground, and then maybe someone gets picked, and you don't get picked to play on a team. What do you say? Thank you. Now, adults, this is true for us too, but we're a little bit better at hiding it, right? So maybe someone at work gets some opportunity that you wish and you say, oh, that's not fair. Or maybe in your office, someone gets this huge office and you say, yeah, that's not fair. Or maybe someone is living a life that you wish you had and you say, okay, one more. Maybe someone in your life hurt you and you look at them and you look and you say, man, it seems like their life is going pretty great. What do you say? That's not fair. Yes. I think oftentimes we see these emotions that we have, they tell us something that's going on deeper inside of us. And so I'm going to invite Ellie and Sam to come and read Jonah 4. Because when we read this whole thing, I want you to see the emotions that come through, that's not fair that Jonah brings to the table. And maybe you can come at it and you just close your eyes. And you're like, man, I'm going to picture his anger and picture his happiness and also then picture what else he has. So hear the reading of God's word, Jonah 4.
But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when he was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by feeling to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant. It made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease for his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered.
When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. The sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you've concerned about this plant. Though you didn't intend it or make it grow, it sprang overnight and died overnight. And you should have not concern for the great city of Nineveh, for there are more than 120,000 people who could not tell their right hand from their left, and also so many animals.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. I can't help but hear Jonah 4 and realize that we could tell this sermon with worms. When you hear of God giving mercy to Nineveh, I can't help but think that he's what? He's angry. Okay, so we got anger. And then, what happens? God provides a plant, and then he is happy. Okay, we got a few. And then the worm comes and eat the plant, and then the sun comes out, the wind comes, and then what is he? I'll be honest, I have no idea what this face is, but I would consider this as either just a bunch of tears or like I'd just rather die. This is the sermon, so we can go home now. I'm just kidding, I know you wish, but no, what really is happening, if you look at Jonah's emotions, if you look at what we hear in Scripture and the sadness, this happiness, this sadness, I want to die, we have to wonder if there's something deeper going on. And so, but to Jonah, something was really wrong. And he becomes angry. Something is happening. We're asking, why is he angry? What is very wrong? And we don't have to go too much further, but in verse 2, reread. he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still home? That is what I tried to run away. I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious, that you're a compassionate God. You're slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. This is what I know," Jonah says. So in this map right here, we've been showing you all this whole series, but what Jonah does in around Joppa area, he goes and runs because he knew who God was. He knows the character of God, so he knew if he went to Nineveh, God was gonna do what God does. But for him, he was like, no, they don't deserve this. Nineveh does not deserve your mercy. And so he goes 2,500 miles. But what Jonah does know is that God is gracious. That God is a God that gives goodness to those that don't deserve it. He knows that God is a compassionate God, that God sees people's needs and he cares for them. He knows that he's slow to anger, that this God is patient. He knows that he's abounding in love, that this is a faithful love that doesn't quickly get snuffed out. And he knows that God is a God who relents from sending calamity. God is a God who shows mercy to those that Jonah didn't think actually deserved. And this is the God that Jonah knows. And it's interesting because when you look at this, you think, man, this is the God for some of us, we come here and we worship, right? We know that he's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and a God who relents. And we've experienced in our life, but for some of us in this room, maybe like a Jonah comes to this table and says, oh man, God's mercy reaches farther than we expect, but guess what? I don't know if that's going to be true for them. And so the reality is that he knows that God is a God that's going to be a God towards these people. And he doesn't want this God to show these things towards Nineveh. And so what happens is as God's mercy reaches farther than Jonah even expected, we have to ask the question, are you and I okay when it does? When God is God and does those things that God does, are you okay when he does that not just for you, but maybe for someone else that maybe you thought that actually doesn't deserve it? Because then what happens when you're not okay with, like Jonah was not okay, anger shows up. This idea of anger, that's something that comes forward when you don't think it's fair. And then we ask the question, what happens when anger sticks around just a little bit longer, that when you say that's not right or they shouldn't get that and it actually doesn't release in your body and you actually start thinking and asking those questions all the time like, they don't deserve it and it sticks around, what happens? Resentment shows up. Resentment is this idea of anger sticking around for a while and you can't shake it and you sit in it because you think someone has been treated unfairly or maybe you've been treated unfairly. And so I did a little bit deep dive in what resentment is. The root cause of resentment is a combination of unmet expectations and unexpressed needs. When a person feels wronged, unheard, or unable to change a situation. Hello, Jonah. It's maybe unlike quick flashes of anger, resentment actually lingers and it kind of simmers there for a little bit. Maybe there's a sense of injustice that happens, that you believe that you were mistreated, and maybe you were. Maybe you were ignored. Maybe you were given less than you deserved. Maybe you were picked last often at recess, and you just start, that Josh kid out there on that recess, he is so mean. He never picks me. And that resentment just sits in you and you start feeling a little bit of frustration. And then what happens when that happens? Because Jonah is mad, and now he's resenting the fact that Nineveh received mercy. And that's what's the best thing about mercy, is that none of us deserve mercy. Jonah received mercy. Nineveh received mercy. And we receive mercy. But now Jonah's angry and now resentful because Nineveh received mercy. And listen how Jonah responds in verse 3. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Pretty dramatic, right? But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? The Lord asked the question, is it right for you to be angry? But he's like, man, just take my life. I am done with this. And look what Jonah does next. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, had a little pity party maybe, and waited and waited and waited to see what would happen to the city. We don't know exactly what he's waiting for, but one could assume that maybe he's waiting for that destruction. But instead, he doesn't even answer the Lord when he asks, like, is it right for you to be angry? But instead, he just walks out and he sits down and he has this little pity party. And what I love is what happens next, because enters in the worm. There's this book out here called Jonah and the Worm. Pastor Greg recommended it. It's like 125 pages, but it's written for kids. And so I could read it. It was amazing. You should get your hand on it if you could. But Jonah and the Worm. And it's just this imaginative, like, telling of the story of Jonah, but from the worm's perspective. Because in this moment, like, Jonah, the prophet of God, was basically told to go to Nineveh, and what did he do? He went and ran, and then you have the worm God provided, said, go eat this plant that we'll read about in a moment, and the worm does. It's amazing. So what's crazy is you got this prophet that runs and argues with God, is all angry about his mercy, and then you got this worm that just obeys God. Check it out. Verse 6, then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint and he wanted to die, and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. This worm shows up. The worm obeys God. And the reality is, the worm didn't create the problem for Jonah to say, I want to be done with it. What the worm did is what exposed Jonah's heart, exposed what Jonah cared about. Because Jonah loves many things. He loved the plant, which made him really happy. And then the worm came up, and you see how quick it turned. Like this anger, and I just would rather die. Woe is me. And so we experience something very interesting about this worm. And we have this little heart-to-heart that God says in verse 9, but God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry, I wish I was dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about what? About this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and dead overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also with so many animals, it's those cows. He's still concerned about those cows. And so we have this question, is like, man, you cared about this plant, But do you see what you actually cared about was your comfort? And what you wanted was your way to be this way, and it didn't happen? And then God's saying, how much more do I actually care about the people of Nineveh? And so this book starts to turn. Remember we talked about last week, just this idea that the book of Jonah actually is like a mirror to our hearts. That when you actually start to look, it kind of exposes the Jonah in all of us in one level or another. And maybe you've seen that in the book of Jonah. And the invitation is that you and I would be humbled enough because of the wideness of God's mercy. And so there's a mirror that starts to shape, that starts to look at yourself in the mirror, because is there an answer to the question? And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Do we have an answer? No, we don't have an answer. Jonah doesn't say, the book of Jonah doesn't say it. Does he relent and be like, oh, you're right, God. This mercy, I get it now. Or do you think for the rest of his life, he's going to be sitting there and being like, oh, Nineveh, God's mercy. I'm a prophet of God. I don't understand. I don't know. Jonah cared a lot about his comfort. And also God provided a worm. And the question that we have is, do I care about what God cares about? Because you see, Jonah cared about the plant and his comfort. And yet God says, hold on, Jonah. I care about these people. Do I care about what God cares about? Or am I just mad at that worm for eating the plant? And maybe in your life, there's a worm. I don't know. Maybe in your life, there is something in your life, this little something that reveals something bigger that's actually going on in your heart. And usually it's through your emotions. And maybe for you, it's being picked last at recess. And you're frustrated about that. And we ask the question, what's going on inside that you don't get the biggest piece of cake? Come on. Maybe God's saving you from a tummy ache. I don't know. Or maybe you didn't get that thing that you wanted and you just saw somebody else driving that nice car. I don't know what it is. And you're just like, man, maybe we can call that the worm. The thing that actually is exposing something inside of you so that you can ask the question, is my heart moving closer to the space that I care about what God cares about? And so there's this story thousands of years later in Luke. And there's a story about the older brother, but you may remember it, of the prodigal son, right? Prodigal son comes to the father, the younger son comes to the father and says, hey, I need all this. I want to leave you. I don't want anything to do with you, Dad. I am gone. And he goes and squanders it off. He even eats what the pigs are eating, and he comes back looking for the mercy of his father. And his father is looking at a distance and runs to his son, and he shows mercy and love. And yet, in here, there's this story about the older brother. And listen to how he responds. And kind of similar to how Jonah responds. In verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, he's angry all these years. I've been slaving for you, father, and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never once gave me even a young goat, so I could celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours, notice that, when the son of yours, he doesn't even count him as his brother anymore. He's saying, your son, not my brother, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, and you killed the fattened calf for him. My son, the father says, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. I just want to pause there for a moment, because oftentimes resentment comes in is when we actually want something that someone else has, and we hold on to that for a while, or something that they don't have, and then we find ourselves wondering. And the father is saying, everything that I have is yours. God the Father is saying that everything that I am is yours. I am compassionate. I am gracious. I am slow to anger. I am abounding in love. I will repent. Come to me. Surrender before me. Repent before me, and I will give you. This is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad. We had to show mercy and celebrate because someone who felt was undeserving came back. And maybe that's where you are. You're like, I have been undeserving. And maybe you resent God. Because sometimes we find ourselves resenting other people. And maybe you come to the space and you're like, you know, honestly, I'm kind of like Jonah. And it's not another person that I resent. But actually, I really resent who God is. Because it's true. They experience God's love. But I don't know if I can let go and experience God's love. I don't know if I can care for other people. Because I don't know if you care for me. And that's a real question to ask. We have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found. This is what we do here at Fairhaven. We help people come and find their way back to God. And every one of them, if it's baptism, profession of faith, or just coming here and surrendering something, even if it's little or it feels little, we can celebrate with you. Because we know who this God is. We know who he's like. And we know experientially of what we've experienced, you too. And so for your friends. And so for your family. And that's the beauty of what God is inviting us to. And so the question is, you can resent. You can. Or you can become more like Jesus. Ha! Yes! Okay, I didn't know that's what's there. That's there. Jesus, thank you. For you guys, for anybody, really, for all the kids, after this, you can go out those doors, and we have popsicles. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's good. Not Smarties. Popsicles. Out through those doors over there. But you and I can become more like Jesus. So, as we see Jonah, what's wild is that Jonah himself knows the character of God, and yet he does not reflect the character of God. There's one thing of knowing who God is, and that there is another thing of becoming and following him, and we see that through Jesus. We see Jesus didn't just say, hey, believe what I believe. He said, come and follow me and live like me. That we read in Philippians 2, that in relationships with one another, having the same mindset that of Christ Jesus, this is who our Jesus is that we worship. He, having the very nature God, did not consider himself equality with God, something for his own advantage. But rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in the human likeness of God, of us, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. This Jesus that we worship, the Jesus that we come to, is the same Jesus who came to serve, who came to love, and who came to show mercy. Way more than we could ever expect or know. And so to wrap Jonah up, the invitation this morning is that you and I would notice, that we would have eyes to see what your reflections, what your reactions reveal. And maybe it's anger that shows up. Maybe it's that statement, that's not fair. But asking the question, what makes you angry when someone else gets something? Noticing what can feel inside of you. And then asking God, what is this feeling showing me about what I am called to care about. And that maybe if you were to take your fists, like Pastor Greg said earlier, take the fist, and it's something that you're holding onto so tightly that maybe you would surrender what you're holding onto. And I don't know what it is. It's maybe something that you're like, that's not fair. They have this. Maybe it's your comfort. Maybe it's your idea that it should happen this way and it actually happens that way, and you've just been holding on, being resentful because of it. Maybe it's because you just hold it on because you want it your way. And the invitation is just to surrender. To surrender before God and say, you know what, God, I want to release this before you. I trust you with this. I trust you with this situation. It might not be the way I want it, but I just want to surrender it before you and then become more like Jesus. And maybe the prayer this morning is instead of change them or change their circumstance or their situation, maybe it's more inward, like a mirror to yourself and say, Jesus, would you change me? I think the last question I have is this. Am I willing to let God change me? Are you willing to let God change you? And so I just want to invite you to pray with me this morning. God, we pray this morning as we ask the question, am I willing? God, I see people in this room that may have been holding on for something. Frustration and anger. Someone else seems like they've got it going on, and I don't think I do. God, and we've been holding tight. We find ourselves moving from anger to resentment, and yet you are inviting us to surrender this morning, to release whatever we want, whatever we have, whatever we've been holding on to you, God. The God who is gracious, the one who is slow to anger, the one who is abounding in love, the one who's compassionate, the one who relents, God. And as often as we point the finger at other people and the frustration that we experience, God, may we know too, not just others, but may we know, may you touch our hearts that we recognize that you, God, are those things, those qualities, those characteristics to us. God, may we become more like you today, this afternoon, tomorrow, the next day, knowing that your Spirit is working in and through each one of us, continually calling us to you and becoming more like you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you as you listen through this message. For service times and for more information on all the things happening in the life of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.